scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. Matthew 28, 1 through 8. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples.
I hope that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Of course, us as Christians being mindful of the thanks, most of all going to God. And let's always remember on each one of these traditional days that we come together, that the world calls holidays, which means holy days, that we always remember the thing that we should thank the most. And we always remember the family that really matters the most. That's God, and that's our spiritual family. Course, that is going to heaven and getting more into that spiritual family. And so we're very thankful, of course, for all of our families and for all the blessings that God has given to us. And at the same time, we remember that all these things come from God. And so I hope once again that everybody had a good Thanksgiving with those things in mind. Continuing our series on the sacrifice of Christ, we continue now in Matthew 28. And this is our last chapter of the main Gospel account that we're more so focusing on. And we are taking things from the other Gospel accounts as we see other events that happen. And this next dealing that we go through will be, of course, Jesus' resurrection and the events that transpire concerning what happened when He resurrected, what happened afterwards, and including those who witnessed Him alive again. So the next events will be also, for the next lesson this afternoon, also primarily focused on whenever He appeared to different people. And that, of course, being evidence as far as Him being resurrected. That's one of the most important things to the Christian faith, actually, is how many times He resurrected and how He did resurrect. Even thinking about the time whenever He presented Himself to Thomas, and of course Thomas would touch His side, and Thomas would see the nail piercings in His hands. All those things being incredibly important to the Christian faith in letting us know that He actually did get crucified on a cross, and then was able to raise from the dead from a tomb on the third day after being in a tomb as a dead body beforehand. And so a miraculous thing, and not something that was trickery, not something that was a hoax, not something like people create today or make it seem like it's today, but it was nonetheless, it was the truth. It was the absolute truth, and it was something that God willed to happen. And Jesus, as being God Himself, was able to do this as well without any stopping whatsoever. And He would become Lord of Lords, King of Kings, as that authority would be given to Him by the Father, as we'll see later in this chapter even as well. Verse 1, though, Matthew 28, and remember, we're keeping Matthew as our main focus because it would be quite time-consuming to go through every one of these books and just go verse by verse on every single one of them. And so we are giving you the more, you know, as far as the ones that have a little more detail to them and that go through each of the gospel accounts and give more detail. It is quite complex as far as getting all of the details into one place and trying to, you know, get that to you as far as in a 30-minute sermon. But I have been trying my best to try to get all of that to you, maybe in the most chronological order that I can find, of course, according to the Scriptures, and with the help of brothers as well, as far as even in commentaries as well. But continuing here, being Jesus being raised from the tomb in verse 1, Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Now this is clearly depicting the first day of the week. There's really no question that Sunday is the first day of the week, even in Scripture. Because it says what? After the Sabbath, if you go to each gospel account, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, continuing at the very first verse and going on, it says a type of language as after the Sabbath. So after the Sabbath, meaning that day has passed. The Sabbath day could, takes place as the entirety of that Saturday. And so what's the day after Saturday? It's Sunday. Even for them, Sunday. And so the first day of the week was Sunday, and that's incredibly important to our Christian faith as a system of faith, because that's the day when we come to worship together on. And so if we worship on another day, of course, that would be a transgression of God's law. And the first day of the week is when the first century church came together to worship God with all the different acts of worship that we can read about, like in places in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 through 2, and other places. But verse 1, Mary Magdalene apparently is here at this time. Jesus has been in the grave for 3 days, with this day currently in the context being the third day, exactly as he prophesied beforehand. Mary Magdalene's here. Mary, it most likely is the mother of James and Joseph, or Joseph, however you want to pronounce it, and Salome, the wife of Zebedee. According to Mark's account, they were all present when the first group came to see the tomb. There also was another named Joanna, and Joanna was in Luke chapter 24 and verse 10. We don't know exactly who that is. It could be talking about, it could be another name for one of these women, but we know that there were multiple women there who first came to the tomb to see what, the tomb at least. They came to bring spices, apparently. It was in Mark, in 16, 1 through 2, and we'll go ahead and turn there. That said that these women were here for the purpose of bringing spices. Now when Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. So these events are going to get a little confusing as far as the times with Mary Magdalene and as far as the times with these different women being here. We can read through each of the gospel accounts and really pair these things together as far as an order that we can see for the most part. It does get a little confusing in some areas as far as making it into a chronological order, event by event, what happened first to last. But really the main thing that we need to understand is the most important part, and that's the lesson that Jesus truly did resurrect and that all these people saw it, all these people were eyewitnesses, and each gospel account attests to that fact. So that's the most important part of this. And of course, Jesus' ascension being the thing to finalize these gospel accounts. But according to John's account, it could be the case that Mary Magdalene, if we're talking about chronological order, may have been the first to arrive, although she could have had the other women with her. She came when it was basically still dark and noticed the tomb was open. And then she went and told Peter, and as the text says, the other disciple whom Jesus loved, likely John that is. If you go to John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, and we'll go ahead and read that. And I do encourage you, if you have time, and maybe this week or something, if you can, as we're going through this series, try to read through these gospel accounts. Whenever we go over one section of events, or if you miss an entire section of events, as I know some people have been missing some of those sections, that remember they're archived on Facebook, we have, every single gospel account is within your hands each and every day. You can go to the Bible and you can read it for yourself. And so remember, and I do encourage you to try to read these gospel accounts, every one of them, all four, to try to get the full picture of what is going on, really in its entirety of the sacrifice of Christ that we've been talking about. John 20, 1 through 10. Let's read that together. It says there, "Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they laid him.' Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. The other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first, and he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Now, this may have been, as far as when Mary went and told Peter and them, and John, and most likely, it may have been when the other women were with her as well. It appears to be like it's only Mary, but maybe Mary went first. Maybe Mary, of course, was with the other women at this time. It doesn't matter too much, but we do try to go a little more in depth with this series. As far as Luke 24, 8 through 12, the disciples apparently, whenever she told them, they did not believe her. Luke 24, 8 through 12, and this also would happen whenever all the women would tell the disciples, whenever they were commanded, of course, by the angel, and we'll talk about that later as well. But Luke 24, 8 through 12. Says there, and they remembered his words, considering verse 7. Verse 9, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So you see that there are different details with each gospel account. That doesn't mean there's contradictions. That just means each gospel account gives different details as to the event that's happening. And so while it can be difficult to pair these in like a chronological order and get that exactly perfect, we can come very close, but as far as getting that exactly you know, perfect, and maybe that's very challenging, but certainly we can understand the lesson that Jesus is risen and that all these different events are transpiring really one after the other as the gospel account is reading, as we can read by context. Peter and John are apparently racing to the tomb. Read the text to understand, of course, the order and the context of how this happens. After Peter and John leave, as the other gospel accounts indicate, the other women that could be here, John 20, 11 through 18 is the next series of verses that we'll have to read to continue on. John 20, 11 through 18 says there, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. After this, Mary does tell them, and once again, these could be separate events that these things are going on with Mary and then the other women, but it could also be very likely that it is the same exact event. And the disciples in both, or in the same time, they did not believe her. Mark 16, 9 through 11 is, of course, where that is as far as them not believing her. Saying there, now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. And so this was one of the appearances of Christ that did happen to Mary Magdalene. Continuing on, we can read in Matthew 28 and verse 2, in our main context of what is going on here. Whenever they do come to the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. So here's another miracle, and interesting enough, this is one of the miracles that happened beforehand. Notice that an earthquake happens now a second time, 3 days after the one that happened before, when what happened? Jesus died on the cross. Immediately after that, different miracles would happen, one of them being an earthquake. The Koine Greek, the word for it, is seismos, S-E-I-S-M-O-S. Just like, of course, what had happened to Jesus' death on the cross again. This angel also rolled back the stone from the door and apparently sat on it. It was neither the human friends nor the enemies of Jesus that were the ones who rolled back the stone from the door and showed there was no body there. But it was who? It was a spiritual being from heaven. One that you could look at and be amazed by, as if you know that that's not a regular human. That's a spiritual being. That's a messenger from God. And other texts say it looked like a young man. It looked like, of course, the countenance was like lightning. And we'll look at those things as well in verse 3. Continuing there, his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. His appearance, meaning not just his face, but also his look overall, was like lightning. His clothing was white as snow. He looked like a young man, according to Mark 16 and verse 5. This was like lightning phrase means that he just looked very, particularly bright and shining in a powerful way. This type of look would be expected, of course, coming from the presence of God. An angel coming from the domain of God should have such a manner of him. We know this was a celestial being as far as it being an angel, a spiritual being from God, because he descended from heaven. It says it very clearly there. He had supernatural appearance. He came with an earthquake. He was represented as clothed in white. White is a symbol of purity and innocence. It even was to the Jews at that very day and time. Each account, though, gives different details as to the interaction that these women had with this angel. And other accounts, as we also just read, tell of another angel that was there. But one of them apparently does the speaking. Perhaps both of them do speaking at different times. But one of them, at least, we do know is speaking. And it does seem the order of events that the angels do some different things. Of course, if you look across the different gospel accounts. Luke's account does give more detail as to there being this other angel in Luke 24, 1 through 7. These angels, they remind these women of Jesus' words when he was still in Galilee. So if you read there, Luke 24, verses 1 through 7. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And verse 8, of course, they remember his words. Once again, just because these other details are here and they're not in the other account doesn't mean it's contradiction. It just means they can be easily seen together in contextual order of events and persons. They're all inspired, each gospel account. They just are giving different details as far as what's going on in the event. Matthew 28 and verse 4, continuing on, Matthew 28 and verse 4, "And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." So remember Matthew's account, as we just read earlier. This probably means that the guards, and these are more than likely Roman guards. People try to argue that perhaps sometimes, but it is more than likely Roman guards. So they're Gentiles. They fainted or nearly fainted with fear upon seeing the angel of God. There's no doubt that it's an angel of God. The Jew would try to say, well, it was this guy who, had a light behind them or something like that. Or somebody else who is a doubter. But, of course, even atheists, they try to prove everything in the Bible with some type of nature thing that happens just out of nowhere, or randomly, as they even do with evolution and trying to prove our creation, coming out of nothing. But it is interesting that these guards could guard the tomb against everyone except Jesus, everyone except this angel, and these angels both. They seemingly forgot to guard against Jesus. Jesus did have to walk out of the tomb. The stone would be rolled away from the tomb. Perhaps Jesus, maybe just immediately appeared elsewhere, but really he would have walked out of the tomb, and these guards, they couldn't do anything. And so even with the angels, they couldn't do anything. Maybe they felt they didn't need to guard against him. You know, whatever the case there, they're afraid. They're incredibly scared right now at what's going on. Verses 5 through 8, if we would continue in the account of Matthew. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. But these angels, they tell that Jesus who was crucified, he's now risen, as he did say that he would rise on the third day. So Jesus, like other people in history who've tried to say that there's some type of Savior figure or Messiah figure, he prophesied everything concerning his death, and it all came to pass. Even when he was dead, there was still prophecy being fulfilled that the prophet said way beforehand, hundreds and hundreds of years before. How is that possible? It's only possible because Jesus is God and he is the Messiah. Verse 6 has to be one of the greatest statements of all time. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. The validity of the prophecy, the integrity of God, the meaning of Christ on earth, and the hope of man rests on the truth of this very statement. Exactly everything that was said here. He is not here, for he is risen. Look for yourself, and you will see. And of course, they do look for themselves. They do eventually see the hands of Jesus. They see Jesus' side. They see how the crucifixion marks are there. They're still there. And of course, he's walking as a man that's alive. He's flesh and blood. Now, that's something that we need to make sure we don't misunderstand as we read through the different things we go through today, that Jesus is certainly still flesh and blood. He rose from the dead as flesh and blood, and then he would ascend to his Father in heaven. If he was not flesh and blood, then he didn't resurrect as a man. He didn't resurrect certainly truly with the major power of God and becoming a man, having maintained that human likeness and continuing being a man, just as he rose other people from the dead like Lazarus. But he continued to be a man after he even died on the cross. These angels in verse 7, they tell the women also to go tell Jesus' disciples he's risen and he's going into Galilee. Mark adds particularly to tell Peter, as if Peter wanted to see Jesus again the most. It is interesting that Peter, really, for the most part, is one that just always seems to want to be right next to Jesus, or he wants to be the one that's, he's just really close to Jesus. He just really wants to make sure Jesus is safe. He wants to make sure that, you know, he wants to see him again. He just really loves Jesus. And it seems like he, more than others, just really sticks around him. Maybe also perhaps like John did. The enemies of Jesus lost. Did anybody steal his body? Nobody stole Jesus' body. An angel came and opened the door of the tomb, and it wasn't there. And Jesus was found walking around as a man after he was crucified to death. That's pretty plain and simple. By eyewitness accounts of each of these gospel accounts, this is the belief of our faith, brethren. Through the eye of faith, we believe that Jesus, of course, rose from the dead. But these things are eyewitness accounts. These things are truly recorded. Each of these appearances that we'll see even this afternoon were recorded that we might believe, even as the book of John says. The women left the tomb with fear and great joy, as verse 8 says. They ran to bring the disciples the word. Surely any true Christian or anyone who aspires to become a true Christian would have fear and great joy at this moment. At this moment when you see that Jesus is not there, that there's an angel and that he rose from the dead. With there being an angel, there'd be no doubt, you know, perhaps we would think in our minds that he did rise from the dead. But then even seeing him for Mary Magdalene afterwards and the disciples afterwards, what a spectacular moment that it was indeed true. Jesus is the Messiah. You know, considering everything he did before with the miracles and the prophecies fulfilled, and then also now, everything's coming to its fullness. So this is a moment in history. You know, the literal most major moment in history, one of the most to be absolutely so excited about. And these women get to partake in that. And these men as well that get to see Jesus afterwards get to partake in that moment. Now, for even further study, I do encourage you again to read all four gospel accounts. as we're reading through these things that pertain to this specific event so that you may understand even further. You may have noticed, obviously, but we were going to make this morning lesson focus on this, really this tomb event and this first appearance that Jesus would have, of course, to Mary Magdalene. Verses 9 through 10, continuing in Matthew 28. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This could be two separate appearances, although it's likely, it's perhaps the case that it is the same appearance that where Mary Magdalene did see Jesus. Although it perhaps is not, because it does say Jesus did meet the women as they were going to the disciples. And so some perhaps say this is the same, but it's likely actually a different appearance. So two separate appearances now that we've seen that Jesus is presenting himself to his disciples, both men and women. Well, what's interesting about as far as how Jesus appears, what the group is that Jesus appears to first? You know, some people say that women are neglected in the Bible and that women are the ones, you know, that are forgotten in the Bible. And, you know, and some atheists even go on to say that, you know, women are, you know, God doesn't like women or something. What's the first group of people that Jesus appears to? Women. The first group of people that he appears to is women. The first ones. And Mary Magdalene, as we read the order of events, was the first one to be able to get to see Jesus after his rising from the dead. And so how can you say such things? How can people say such things? Jesus, of course, showing himself to a woman first of anybody shows more than anything. You know, she getting to participate in that moment first before anyone is a significant thing that tells us that women have just as much importance spiritually to God as men do. Men and women both. Each and every one of us can go to heaven if we choose to live godly, if we choose to live like Christ and obey His law. And so certainly such arguments are ridiculous. These women, though, they worshipped holding Jesus' feet, and Jesus accepted the worship. Why would Jesus accept the worship? Because He was the Messiah. Because He is the Savior. He did raise from the dead. He is God. All of these things, He did accept the worship. He's not just some angel, as people say. Jesus is not just some prophet, as the Muslims say. He is the Messiah. He is God the Son. He is the Word, as the book of John says. As the book of 1 John says even as well. He's the Word. He is God in the flesh even now at this time. Mary Magdalene and the other women mentioned are likely still in this grouping, which means Mary at least now has seen Jesus perhaps even two times. And so as these are two separate appearances, more than likely, I would say, almost certainly, Mary has probably even seen Jesus two times, as Mary might be still with these women. If she's not, then okay, but perhaps she's seen him two times. She did get to see him the first time, though. Now, as far as the things that will happen after this, there is a horribly gross plot by the Jews that will happen after he raises from the dead. And we'll get into that a little bit this morning. And I encourage you to come back this afternoon for a quick 30-minute, you know, 45-minute session that we'll be together again and worship God together again, that will talk about this gross plot by the Jews and then the next appearances of Christ that happen. And this is one of those things, brethren, that's so incredibly important to our faith. So incredibly important, and it's essential that we understand these appearances of Christ after He rose from the dead, seeing that it is eyewitness evidence for our faith. Whenever an atheist or something says, "How do you know Jesus rose from the dead?" Go read the Bible. The Bible is history. It is history. People say it's not history. It is history. It's a historical book. People in traditional knowledge, people love their tradition and their traditional knowledge and their, you know, their other books other than the Bible. You know, I even go as far to say commentaries. Is a commentary of the Bible? No, it's not. It's just not. The Bible is historical more than anything else. Is some church father or some, you know, as far as in 400 AD or 200 AD or... That's not the Bible, brethren. The Bible is, of course, the inspiration from which came from God's mouth. And so the Bible talking about the gospel accounts is the most important thing that we can be reading from to understand that Jesus did resurrect from the dead. The Jewish leadership, though, is trying to stop it. In verse 11, Matthew 28, continue with me. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and we will make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The watch or the guard in verse 11 is talking about the Roman soldiers, no doubt, that were used to guard the tomb of Jesus. The word reported or showed, as in your version, means to declare or to make known openly. What would it have been, of course, to see the expression on the face of these men and then tell them to tell a lie about the resurrection of Jesus even after that? You've got two Roman Gentiles, two Roman soldiers coming up to you telling you that your guy that you just crucified truly indeed had an angel just open his tomb. And, you know, they were even there when he walked out of the tomb. And so he came from the dead. He was alive. And now they're going to tell him they're going to pay him off to tell a lie that it didn't actually happen and that the disciples came away and stole his body. How ridiculous is that? Doesn't that just make you so upset and frustrated? Imagine how frustrated God was. It's just unbelievable what these Jews keep on doing. It's unbelievable. But it seems that the soldiers are honest here, and they do tell the Jews as best they can exactly what happens, although the Jews don't care, and they want to pay them off and try to save their own, you know, their political figures and their religious figures as far as their power and their money and their fame to men. Verse 12 continuing, this was deemed important enough to call together the council of Jewish leadership. They called the elders, the chief priests. The chief priests called the elders. They assembled together and tried to decide what to do about this. They decided to lie. They decided to pay off the soldiers and to tell that lie. Verse 13, this is the lie that the leader Jews paid the Roman soldiers off to tell everybody. Now here's a really, really good question that you just can't not think about. If the guards were asleep, and now read there with me, saying, tell them again, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. Perhaps even Jews today believe in this very thing. If that's the case, how did the Roman soldiers know that the disciples stole him away by night if they were asleep? Does that make any sense? They were asleep. How would they know the disciples stole him away by night? And yet people still believed it. Unbelievable. So, continuing there, verse 14, these Jews told the soldiers they'd also appease Pilate if he came to find out that they were basically sleeping on the job, whether that meant by persuasion, lying, bribery, or something. They were going to appease Pilate if he did find out, or the governor, at least. Verse 15, the guards did take the money, literally it is silver, and they did as they were taught. Again, if these soldiers were sleeping, how did they know that that would happen? How did they know it happened at all? This is why they had to be taught, instilled with the doctrine by men, to teach other men as well. Taught by men for the will of men. So sad that even now, people are trying to undermine the plan of God. God's people even, in the Old Testament, the Jews. Trying to undermine His plan. It's just crazy. Brethren, just reading through this and going through all these texts as I've been studying this constantly, it's just crazy to me, the Jews' ignorance. It's just crazy. But this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. This story apparently was still being circulated when Matthew wrote this account of the gospel. Matthew wrote it about 48 to 50 A.D., if we're correct on that. So this would be about 15 years later. What also went along with this story, though, apparently at the time, is how the soldiers were bribed. And so probably many would believe in it, but that story that the soldiers were bribed also did get out, according to traditional knowledge as well. And so Jews do choose to believe that Jesus never resurrected, even because of things like this. One of the lies that even the Jews told right after the fact. And I want you to notice something interesting. Whenever you read that, verse 11, now while they were going, so that's whenever the women are going to tell the disciples. So really right off the bat here, the Jews already have another plot. They already planned something else. They're already at it. And so while they're going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported this. I mean, just right off the bat, wickedness wants to immediately try to undermine the plan of God. It'll fail, and it always will fail, no matter how many people have tried to burn Bibles across the centuries, no matter how many types of nations or religious people, even sometimes popes have tried to burn Bibles, yes, popes, across the centuries, which the Pope is not inspired by God at all. The Pope is not anything by God at all. But no matter how many people have tried to burn Bibles, they've always failed. The Bible's indestructible, and it's still here. I mean, people have destroyed copies of every, you know, other books, and there's none of them left. And you read about a book in history that you can't find the archive for at all. Well, this is the oldest book in history as far as its content, going back to Genesis. And yet they've not been able to destroy it. Let that ring in your ears, brethren. I mean, sincerely, let that ring in your ears as to the power that you're holding in your hands. The power is the Word of God. This is indestructible. No matter how many times you try to burn this thing, it's going to keep showing up. It's indestructible. But that'll do it for our lesson this morning. We will continue this series in the afternoon talking about the appearances of Christ even after this. And so I do encourage you to come back. If you have any need, brethren, the invitation is available to each and every one of us. Of course, if you have prayers that you need for yourself or for anybody else, we do wish that you would come and that you would let us pray with you and take care of you in this way. If you have a sin in your life, you need to get yourself right with your God today, certainly. Please do allow us to pray with you and ask for that forgiveness of sin together sincerely for you. But if you're not a Christian, of course, at all, you need to become one. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus is the Christ before men, you're ready to be baptized into water for remission of your sins and to be added to the kingdom of God. At that time, whenever you become a Christian in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we talk about later in Matthew 28, as a disciple is made into a Christian, as a person is made into a disciple or a Christian, at that moment you become a Christian. Your life continues with God. You cannot continue in a life of former sins. You just can't. You just can't. You can't go back to the wickedness. You can't fall away. If you want to go to heaven, it's not just a, I feel I'm going to heaven thing. Or it's not just a, well, God loves everybody, and so He's going to make everybody go to heaven. No, that's not the truth of the Scriptures. The truth of the Scriptures is the Scriptures. Go and read them and find out. So, become a Christian. If you're ready to do that today, please do accept that invitation and remain faithful unto death until God. Christians and those who are seeking to be Christians, if you will do that, you will have heaven sincerely and absolutely certainly someday. If there's any need among us, come to the front as we stand and sing to our God together.
New year and need more than in the cruising. daggers hold me ready more than man can write, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments fallen on a white and gold? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing o'er the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul?